And my voice got lowered in that segment. It was actually Alan Minsky with his People's Game. And if you haven't caught it yet, you must at thepeoplesgame.org. And here on KPFK, I'm Susie Wiseman. The program is Beneath the Surface. And we just heard an interview that Alan did with the very famous Ziggy Marley in anticipation of the World Cup final for all of you football fans out there. Alan and I are going to talk in these last few minutes about that game and about, the politics of the game. I should just let you know and just announce that there were some pretty important legal decisions this week that we're going to put off for another time. Massachusetts federal judge Joseph Taro decided that the same-sex marriage was legal and that, in fact, the Defense of Marriage Act is plainly unconstitutional, and he did it by making a states' rights argument. It's a huge victory. It also will call into question all kinds of other laws. Erwin Chemerinsky promises to comment on that for us in another time. But Alan, program director at KPFK and producer of this show, let's talk football. And why do you keep calling it soccer?
football. One of the things we did in the People's Game, and we looked at this seriously because this is the largest cultural event probably that's ever taken place, because every 4 years it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's really the only thing that takes place. Certainly the Olympics doesn't do this, where across the world, if you remember what scenes were like in Grant Park in Chicago when Barack Obama won the election, that has been happening all over the world in the major population centers, in the minor cities of every country in the tournament, in many countries that don't have teams in the tournament. And then on Sunday, the expected audience, for some reason they've come up with this term of 1.8 billion people will be watching.
There's going to be more than that.
Who knows? it is, even in the United States now for the first time, we had this phenomenon of it really being a spectacle that people really collected together and watched. So it just says a lot about where humanity is now. There's a real tough underside to that too, which is that football, for some reason, in this early part of the 21st century across the globe, has really replaced a lot of other things that people used to put a lot of their time and energy into, including political organization. But the people are there.
All right. Well,
okay? They're all collected there.
Yeah. And let's just go back for a second because you were raised partly outside of the United States, so you got the love for football or for soccer. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. tends to seem to think that they have to invent their own sports and their own rules and don't want to accept this gigantically popular sport from all over the rest of the world. And I think I read somewhere that one of the reasons that it doesn't stick here is because television doesn't cover it. And how would they? Because one of the sacred rules of football is that once the clock starts, it doesn't stop.
Yeah,
how would you do the commercials? And so I don't know if that's really the reason or not, but Glenn Beck hates it.
Right.
And the reason that he hates it is because the rest of the world loves it.
Right.
And so therefore he calls it anti-American.
Right. We talked with a lot of people throughout the course of this series from around the world, and we talked about the sort of political signification of soccer, football, as it were, across the globe. But in the United States, it really does seem very easy, and it's it can be seen as a progressive wedge because it does bring us into, again, the largest global community of people who are in this participatory activity. It frightens the right wing. It's going to be a lot harder to bomb countries when, if you're watching them every week, the stars from those countries play in the premiership.
Of course, there have been two football wars already.
that's actually a little apocryphal. We talked about that as well. But hey, Susie, before we go, because we're almost out of time.
I want you to get to that.
Right.
I also want you to just comment, Alan, if you could briefly, about why soccer is such a collective sport and maybe why, doesn't allow the individual to shine in the same way that, say, another competitive sport might. And maybe
especially in English language media coming out of England, there's been a lot of discourse about whether football. See, England has the biggest large money league in the world. Of course, it is the country that more or less formalized the rules of the game and, as it were, invented the game and spread it around the world through the British Empire at the end of the 19th century. And it's the top league in the world, and a lot of the stars come from elsewhere, and the British players who become stars in the league become huge global celebrities. There's a lot of sort of individualism and selfishness maybe that is felt by the stars of that league that isn't apparent in other leagues, or so it's been written. And England did terribly lovely. And one of the things is these sort of big stars with these bloated personas didn't meld as a team. And so it really was stated very clearly by a former British player, John Barnes, that this is a socialist sport. It really, more than other sports, say than like American football, which all focuses upon the quarterback as being the central player above the other players in importance, that that's not true of football, that it is actually much more unified than other sports and requires a sort of a socialist mentality. And there have been a flurry of arguments to that effect. And to me, it's been a delightful argument. But alas, along the same lines, we at the People's Game have received a communique
here we go.
That I want to read on air because I have to say it makes a lot of sense to me. It's from a shadowy organization calling itself the 2014
Global. This is a scoop, by the way.
The 2014 Global General Strike. We've done a little research, and it seems they have offices in Detroit, Porto Alegre, Brazil, Manchester, England, Barcelona, Catalonia, and the Esalen Institute. And here's the text that we received. We call upon all people of goodwill to join us in taking a full one-month holiday during the 2014 World Cup. We seek nothing less than the complete shutdown of the global economy in the service of human liberation. Only those people involved in providing essential services, that is, garnering and distributing food and maintaining satellite broadcast services, will labor during this global holiday.
You're here.
For this sacrifice, they will be paid double wage. Food and shelter will be free for all humanity during the holiday. We in the 2014 GGS decided upon this course of action due to the tremendous fatigue suffered by all comrade football fans during the first 2 weeks of this year's World Cup. This group of people, right, the comrade football fans they're referring to.
GGS is Global General Strike.
Right, that is. This group of people has now swelled to represent the majority of humanity. Critical mass has been achieved. It's time to take over. Why dilute joy with alienated labor?
Hear, hear.
No more working for the man. We have the wealth. The earth provides enough to live as we truly wish. Our slogan is football and plentitude. We expect all sane and rational people to support this call. And as we did research, apparently they were unable to consensus upon this, but they're close to consensing that non-participation in the global general strike will receive a yellow card and then a red card, meaning that they will miss the next match.
And you heard it first on KPFK and on Beneath the Surface, a global call for a general strike for football. That is a moratorium from work. Because most people are exhausted during the World Cup month trying to catch all the games and work and have family life. So,
Big global party.
Big global party. You're supporting this move, I take it.
I'm not allowed to as the program director at KPFK, but it makes a lot of sense to me is what I'll say.
We have 2 minutes left. So we can talk about this mass strike that they are promoting. But I just wonder, Alan, let's, as we wrap up here, who do you think is going to win?
Okay, my heart is with Holland, which is I do sometimes when it's not my core team, and my core team historically has been Italy. And I would be sympathetic to the local teams of big support: Mexico, South Korea, North Korea, and the United States. I would have great sympathy to living here in Southern California. But when neither of the sides are teams that I really have a pull to root for, I do sometimes look at the sort of recent political history of the countries and the political history of the teams. And the Spanish coach in 2006 and the coach when they won in 2008 had a background as a racist. A lot of these players developed their national side with them. Because of that, in large effect, I'll probably be pulling for Holland. However, I think the Spanish side is stronger.
Okay, so everybody, watch the World Cup on Sunday. I want to thank Alan Minsky, program director, producer for this show, for joining us in this segment. I want to thank my other guests, Harold Meyerson, and of course, Alan, for his wonderful interview with Ziggy Marley. Also, my producer for today's program, Alan, and to engineer Mark Maxwell and Tamika in Master Control. You can find more information about today's guests, subscribe to the podcast, and more at www.susiewiseman.com or www.kpfk.org. Hit Audio Archives, scroll down to Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman. We're also on Facebook. Become a fan. Hit like on BTS, Beneath the Surface, to receive updates on shows and more. Alan, quick.
And Bob Edelman will be joining me tonight at 7 p.m. for more of The People's Game live on KPFK Radio.
And that's our show, Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman. Stay tuned now for the evening news. Thanks for listening. We're celebrating.